in 1 Samuel, King Saul has been anointed for leadership by the prophet Samuel, and he's been specially chosen by the Lord. And then something happens, and to be honest, unpacking the cultural context of war and the significance of how and why Saul displeases the Lord could be its own sermon or maybe even book. And so I also think one of the issues was that Saul participated in plundering, which was against what the Lord had told him to do. And so that's just a bit of background information before we dive into 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 14 through 23. And the scripture is printed in your bulletin if you would like to follow along. Now the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit of the Lord tormented him. And Saul's servants said to him, "See, now an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord now command the servants who attend you to look for someone who is skillful at playing the lyre. And when the evil spirit from God is upon you, he will play it and you will feel better." So Saul said to his servants, "Provide for me someone who can play well and bring him to me." One of the young men answered, "I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a man of valor, a warrior, prudent in speech, and a man of good presence, and the Lord is with him." So Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David, who is with the sheep." Jesse took a donkey and loaded it with bread, a skin of wine, and a kid, and sent them by his son David to Saul. And David came to Saul and entered his service, and Saul loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Let David remain in my service, for he has found favor in my sight." And whenever the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, David took the lyre and played it with his hand, and Saul would be relieved and feel better, and the evil spirit would depart from him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So since this is a sermon with about music, there may be some singing. We'll see. So if you would join with me, that would be great. I don't know about what key I might be in if this happens. But yes, feel free to join in. So I'm not going to pretend, though, that I understand why the story says the Lord sends an evil spirit to afflict Saul. It's a little troubling to me. It doesn't seem characteristic of a God who is in almost every other circumstance is loving and healing and liberating. And so God is afflicting Saul with some spirit. So is God afflicting Saul with some spirit of retribution or punishment? And so I think it's possible, yes. Theologian Greg Boyd offers that God, as Jesus also reveals, is willing to bear the ugly sin of human beings and sometimes takes on an ugly appearances in that willingness. And he says that God allows us to ascribe human evils to God as an act of grace. So that's one interpretation, maybe. Yes. Or what if we just changed one word or understood the word evil a little bit differently? And I don't know the real connotation in the original Hebrew, but it could have had a variety of implications, both cultural and linguistic. What if evil meant more like difficult or challenging? And I think God does challenge us. Or perhaps evil has this connotation of discipline. God sent a disciplinary spirit to transform Saul. What if it meant an evil spirit away from God? That this is the consequence of Saul going away from God. Saul made room for evil with his disobedience. But evil spirit from God or no, there is a balm in Gilead to heal the wounded soul. And the king's advisors, the wisest in the land, could think of nothing better than music to soothe the spirit. And God allows this relief. It works a little. If music is powerful enough to alleviate the burden of having disappointed or even betrayed God, then that's something. It's powerful. And so Saul needs the music. The sacred artistry of music touches the spirit. Music has a sublime, indescribable, miraculous power in its rhythms and melodies, harmonies loud and soft. It's staccato and fluid, sharps and flats. The creativity that flows through it just resonates with the human soul. And so that's a big piece of why we're just innately drawn to music. But there's something sacred also in that interpersonal connection, in the way music has the power to draw us together in one unified voice, that we can create a community identity through music. We develop relationships and foster intimacy with music. Music has the compelling power of storytelling, of witnessing and testifying. And so we can understand each other better as we listen. We can cross barriers with music and speak soul to soul in a different way with music. Music helped me to understand my students better when I was a teacher. And now music helps me share cultural and linguistic language information to our English language learners at our ministry here as we do our fill-in-the-blank lyrics game. Even though David was so skilled to play the music, the scripture also names all these other qualities about him. He's not just an excellent musician, he's a man of valor. He's prudent in speech. He has a good presence and is a warrior. He cares for the sheep. He's a caregiver. And so I think then that the king needed not just the melody alone, but the companionship. And we can see that they developed a bond, that David found favor in Saul's sight and was always close, and he was bearing Saul's arms and remaining in his service. But you know, the music couldn't completely just cover up God's presence. David and Saul eventually fall out and their relationship devolves. And so for music to maximize its potential, it must be used to cultivate God's presence. Eventually, David becomes the great poet that we know, the writer of many psalms, meant to be sung in the company of people under the presence of God. And he goes through his struggles and he ministers to himself with music and to others. And as he grows, his poetry, his music brings him healing and wholeness. And so songs are more than just an emotional experience. We've gotten good, though, at using them for that. But Saul could only get temporary relief. Music is beautiful in and of itself, but if it doesn't connect to the substance of God, it's a fleeting feeling. When it anchors in witnessing and networks in community, then we can maximize its sacred power. Oh yes, there's a certain power in music. Music can scare away an evil spirit. Music can move your soul. Mennonites, we love our music. The four-part harmony has been kind of traditioned in some of us that we have sung so many times, it finds an echo in your soul. But it's kind of like you have to actually know it well and know it well for it to resonate in your spirit. Nostalgia is a powerful feeling. You ever listen to like a radio song and you don't like it the first time you hear it? And then you keep hearing it, it becomes popular, and then it kind of grows on you. We love music the more we know it, the more it becomes a part of us. Just like we love God more, the more we see and know God. And so we love our hymns because we know them, and because some people can read music. And we love them because of the rhythm and the melody that vibrate within the human spirit. We love them because they help us be participants in proclaiming God's story. We witness the glory of God. We set our intentions on following Christ, and we mourn and we rejoice, and the music helps us. We like our hymns because they draw us together. Each person has their part. They bond us to one another as community members. Maybe we can't dance, but we can sing. And I think it's important, though, to admit that we like them because they make us feel like insiders. This group on Sunday, and maybe even a larger denominational religious group. But conversely, unfortunately, inevitably, they can make newcomers feel alienated. So it's important for us to make space for a variety of music. We don't have to throw away our traditions. Maybe people can learn to enjoy them. But we also can learn to enjoy new things and not be elitist in our singing. When I was in high school, you know, I had the Mennonite background, but I hadn't been involved in Mennonite church at all, or not very much. And so somebody thought it would be a good idea for me to attend the Mennonite World Conference one summer, which was in Zimbabwe. And so we actually went on this learning tour ahead of time. We went to Ethiopia and Kenya, and a day trip to Botswana. And it was actually on that trip, not at like my grandparents' church as a child, but it was on that trip where I learned Praise God From Whom, which is kind of considered the Mennonite anthem. And so we would like go places, and we would go to like Ethiopian churches and stuff. And I remember I would be sitting there in the worship services, and I couldn't really understand anything, but I could feel the music, and I could connect with the music. Then we could offer up our songs. We would kind of like share that song often at some point in the service. And so learning that song was kind of formational to my Mennonite identity. And I don't think I got very many, I can't remember what souvenirs I bought on that trip. I do have this like hand-carved Malachite hippo that's pretty cool. A Maasai blanket that I lost track of at some point. And I have memories. But I also brought something else back. I learned some songs. Something that I still have, those songs. Not just Praise God From Whom, I brought that back, but also some like African songs that we would sing. And so there at the conference, there was this one special song the Zimbabweans loved, and they sang it again and again. It was like kind of almost the theme song of the conference. Akuna akaita sa Jesu, akuna akaita sa Jesu, akuna akaita sa Jesu, akuna kuna. It was like, I think the translation is like, there's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Jesus. I met these three sisters there, and they made friends with me. And they told me how they loved to sing, and they were singing so beautifully together, and they taught me some songs too. We are marching in the light of God. 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 We are marching, we are marching. Ooh, we are marching in the light of God. And in this experience, I kind of tapped into these three. Thank you. I kind of tapped into these three aspects of music: the creative flow, and the communal sharing, and the sacred storytelling. And then I brought them back with me, and I could share them with my friends. And now I also can share them with my babies. And so I use them to rejoice in the God of creation, because singing can feel so good. It was like when David sang, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." In Ephesians, we are instructed to be filled with the Spirit. As you sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs among yourself, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I like to believe that our songs are pleasing to God when we sing them with an earnest heart. That singing isn't just an emotional experience, but we fill ourselves with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit can permeate us with song. We infuse faith into our lives as we sing. In Colossians, it is written, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your heart, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God." Singing is a practice of devotion, a practice of gratitude. Singing can help train your spiritual eye. In singing, we proclaim the good news. Little babies, children are soothed by singing, and they love to know a song and be part of the group. And so we come here and sing. And maybe it touches people differently, and that's okay. But I do believe that the Word of God dwells in us richly through music. And I like all kinds of music. It doesn't have to be four-part harmony. That's the thing about music. It finds all kinds of forms to express what needs to be said. Just like God, God meets us where we are and speaks to us in languages that we can understand. And if we let it happen and we listen, we can harmonize with God. I'm not a musician or a singer. Those of you who are skilled in this way could speak better than I about the chord progressions and the frequencies and pitches. More power to you, that's awesome. But the thing is, I would like to know more. Maybe one day I will. But right now, I don't even have to. I can still sing the song. Even if I can't sing, I can raise my voice. Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth. Sing praises to the Lord. O sing to the Lord a new song. Of loyalty and justice I will sing. I will tell of God's wonderful works as long as I live. Shout for joy to the God of our strength. Sing the abundant goodness of God's righteousness. Let the trees clap their hands, and the mountains stomp their feet, and the rivers shimmy their hips around every bend in the bounty of God's beauty. All of creation sings. How can we keep from singing?